Like a Book to the Face by Mem. Read by CookieMom6067. Heads up, Niall says from behind their new coffee machine. Hoodie guy's back. Joe pauses, struggling to see over the mountain of books in his arms. At Niall's head tilt, he peers over at the nonfiction section and finds a good portion of shelving blocked by their mystery visitor. It's definitely him. The same black hoodie pulled so low that only the tip of a long nose is visible. Same hunched stance, same jerky pattern of hovering around random shelves and never ordering from the cafe or sitting in the garden. And that's fine, really. Everyone is welcome to browse however they want at Al-Khazani Corner, but there's something strange about this guy, and the shop is Joe's baby after all. No matter how much it's grown over the last 8 years, Joe will always remember its birth as a run-down little bookstore, as promised to and in loving memory of his father. It's become a haven for humans and other beings alike, catering to everyone from the neighborhood's newborns to the grandparents who always have something to say about Joe's love life, or lack thereof. So he just wants to make sure everything is all right. Joe walks slowly over, restocking shelves as he goes. The stranger is standing very still, head bowed over a small notebook. That's new. In each of their previous visits, all they'd done was stare at book spines and scarper whenever other customers walked by. Niall had pointed them out after they'd come in 3 times last week and not even picked up a book. She and Joe had been keeping an eye out ever since. Booker had rolled his eyes at them, both from the garden. "It's not a personal challenge if a customer doesn't find something that interests them," he said to Joe the day before, busy making a bouquet to take home to his wife. Adeline is having another bad flare-up. Between that and the triplets, Booker's been too busy to indulge in people watching. He's never too busy to give Joe his opinion, though, apparently. Sometimes they're just passing through. "I'm sure we have something they'll like," Joe replied, fingers tapping his chin. "But they keep vanishing whenever I go to help out." "Ah, so maybe that's a you problem then," Booker said, grinning. "Maybe you smell." "You're the one working with manure," Joe said, kicking at him. "Honestly, you've got your son's level of humor, Booksy." "And I'll only get worse if you keep calling me that." Booker stood, checking his watch. "Speaking of, I need to go pick those little rascals up from school. Don't keep staying so late, okay?" "Sure, sure," Joe said, raising both palms at Booker's arched eyebrow. "I swear, Niall will kick me out." In reality, Joe and Niall are as bad as each other and had both stayed late to plan out the incoming spring menu and gossip. And now here they are. Another day, another mystery visit. Niall gives him a stealthy thumbs up from behind the counter. Joe grins back before turning to greet the stranger. "Hi," he begins. "Can I help you with—" The stranger startles so violently that they drop their notebook. Joe pivots into an apology, leaning down to pick it up, only to bang their heads together since the stranger had already stooped down lightning fast. They both stumble back, the stranger's hood slipping as he straightens, and he's a man. Around Joe's age, pale and sharply defined. His eyes are bright. Too bright for a human's. Iris is filling out too much of the eye, and across his left cheek are 2 massive scars, jagged and livid. The man jerks his hood back up over his head, pulling it sharply over his marred cheek. His notebook is clutched tightly in his hand. "I'm so sorry," Joe says, trying to cover his embarrassment with his best smile. "Are you all right? I swear I don't always say hello by startling people and headbutting them." The man stares at him for a long moment, his 1 visible eye unblinking. Joe does his best to breathe evenly and soften his gaze. Werewolf, then. They're never too hard to spot once you're close enough. "I'm fine, thank you," the man replies finally. His voice is soft and accented, a little hoarse. "Are you?" "Me?" Joe asks dumbly, and then fumbles with the response. "Oh, yes, He knocks lightly at his head. "Thick skull, as Booker would say." The man says nothing at that. doesn't even smile. Joe cringes at himself and tries again. He's usually better with customers, he swears. Can I help you find something? He asks, gesturing at the man's notebook. Were you looking for something in particular? Oh, the man says, sounding as flustered as Joe feels before he flips the notebook back open. Yes, I was looking for... He pauses for a long moment, and then his eyes flicker up to Joe before looking back down again. I was looking for the section for wares, but I must have missed it. Oh, Joe says, thankful to be on firmer ground. Not at all. All our books are integrated, so just look for the author or title under the relevant genre. The man's forehead creases. You don't separate out your non-human items? No, Joe says, trying not to feel nervous. I mean, we stock a lot of non-human books, so it'd be just like half the store and need its own subsection anyway, and it's not as if books by supernatural authors or resources for supernaturals aren't of interest to everyone, I find, so... He kind of wants to finish with, and it's my shop, so I can do what I want. But that definitely sounds like something Booker's sons would say. I see, the man says, and he sounds, well, not negative anyway, Joe thinks. Hopes. That's different. The corner of his mouth that Joe can see twitches upwards ever so slightly. That's nice. Oh, great, Joe says, feeling inordinately pleased. We have a lot of different folks who come by, so it's been great building off their feedback and seeing what works. Oh, are you the owner? The man asks, and Joe straightens a little, trying to remember how presentable he looks. He probably has chocolate on his cheek from the pastry he'd scavenged and backroom dust on his shirt. Al-Kazani? Call me Joe. He holds out his hand. And yes, I run the place, but Niall and Booker boss me around no end. The man hesitates for a long moment before freeing his right hand from his hoodie pocket. His grip is firm, skin tough and calloused against Joe's. The back of his hand is littered with marks, silvery, like the scars across his face, and the man quickly pockets his hand again as he replies, I'm Niccolo, or Nicky. Hi, Joe says, smiling widely. Would it help if I had a look at your list, Nicky? Nicky draws in a quick breath and Joe braces for rejection, but instead Nicky exhales slowly and holds out his notebook. Yes, please, he says. I haven't been in a bookshop in a rather long time. Joe takes it and looks down. The listed books make everything fall into place like a punch to the gut. The scars, the skittishness, the unique stance. Ah, Joe says, as his brain scrambles for an appropriate response. They're always a bit heavy-handed with the titles, huh? Nicky laughs like it's been surprised out of him and then clears his throat when Joe looks back up. Yes, he replies, a curious expression on his face. But at least they're to the point. That's a good way to look at it, Joe says, leading them through the shelves. Nicky follows at a respectful distance, footsteps almost silent. I know we have some of these in stock, and the others I can source for you, no problem. Oh, really? Nicky sounds very surprised, which makes Joe swell with pride. I know they can be hard to find. I like a good challenge, Joe says, flashing Nicky a grin before reaching up to skim over some spines. Carter, not that Carter. Ah, knew he had this one. He goes to pull the hard cover off the shelf, only to underestimate its weight in his enthusiasm. It comes tumbling down towards his face, and Joe yelps, eyes squeezing shut as his hands flail. Nothing hits him. When he opens his eyes, Nicky's arm is outstretched, and he's caught the book in one giant hand, looking rather bemused. Joe lowers his own arms, feeling incredibly foolish. He hopes Niall hadn't seen that. A quick glance across the store informs him that she absolutely had seen it and is currently in hysterics behind the counter. Sorry, Joe mumbles as Nicky examines the cover. I don't know what's gotten into me today. It's all right, Nicky replies, and there's definitely a smile at the corner of his mouth. Even if it is thanks to Joe's mortification, he's glad it's there. I didn't realize this job was so dangerous. Extremely, Joe says seriously. I should give myself hazard pay. Nikki huffs out a small laugh, turning the book over to read the blurb. It's a thick tome, and has the price tag to match. Joe can see Nikki worrying at his lower lip. I know it can be daunting to pick a new book, especially if you haven't read in a while, Joe says, watching him carefully. So feel free to sit in the garden and just flick through if you'd like. Take your time. We have bottomless tea and coffee all day. Nikki tilts his head, looking caught between skepticism and amusement. His hands are busy with the book, and his hood has slipped back a little, revealing more of his face than Joe has seen before. He tries to capture it in words so he can gossip with Niall afterwards, but finds himself at an absolute loss. It's a strange feeling. That's an interesting business model, Nikki says, and his frankness makes Joe laugh. That's the beauty of owning your own business, I guess, he says. Though, to be fair, we generally encourage people to pick from the swap drop if they're going to hang out for a while. But that's mainly because people tend to get food on the pages. Swap drop? Nikki asks, and Joe points to the table nestled between the book section of the store and the entrance to the garden. Old books people bring in to share. Free reads you can drop off and pick up. Sometimes it's just nice to have company with the coffee, you know? Nikki's eyes. God damn, those eyes. Regard Joe so intensely he has to look away while he waits for a reaction. He feels like Nikki is seeing right into him somehow, and goosebumps prickle against his skin. Thank you, Nikki says finally, and Joe glances quickly back at him. But I don't mean to ask for special treatment, Joe. If I'm not meant to read this one outside. Oh, don't even worry about it, Joe says, waving a hand. If I cared about rules like that, this place wouldn't exist, and the regulars would never let me hear the end of it. Nikki starts. And Joe wonders if he's coming on too strong, too used to people who are familiar with his enthusiasm. That sounds... Nikki curls his arms over his chest, book digging into him, and he looks so lost for a moment that Joe wants to sit him down with a giant mug of hot chocolate. All right, thank you. Where should I? Let me find you a spot, Joe says, leading them out of the shelves. He loves showing new guests the garden. Absolutely no need to order anything if you just want water, but I'll get Niall to come by with the menu if you'd like. She can tempt anyone into a pastry. All right, Nikki says, sounding hesitant. But then they step outside and he stops, head tilting back. His chest rises under his hoodie as he inhales deeply, and Joe wonders what Nikki can smell that he can't, even without shifting. He follows Nikki's gaze and tries to see the place through fresh eyes. It's always been one of his favorite things to do. The garden used to be just a patch of unkempt grass. Now it's the same size as the store, wrapping around the building like it's embracing it. The roofing structure arches high above them, able to be opened to the fresh air or closed against the rain, all fully transparent. The water features bubble merrily next to the closest tables, which overlooks the flower garden and vegetable patches, color blooming amongst the green. There's a walled-off section for kids to run wild in, half around the corner so the sound doesn't travel so much. Joe leads Nikki in the opposite direction, where they've set up a quiet area behind a wall of trailing vines. They're in the lull between lunch rush and the after-school crowd, and by some miracle, the corner is empty. Is this good? Joe asks. And Nikki's eyes sweep over the surroundings once, twice, three times before he nods. Yes, thank you. Where should I? Oh, anywhere you like. Seriously. Nikki takes a seat against the wall, facing the garden through the vines. He looks comically large in the ornate chair before he settles back, setting the book down on the table in front of him. I'll send Niall over while we have a look at the rest of your list, yeah? Joe says. And Nikki looks up at him. From this angle, the scarring along his cheek is clearer than ever. the first one stretching from forehead to mid-cheek, right over his eye, the other twisting its way from cheek to jaw. The other side of his face is marked instead by a mole beside his mouth, and Joe again finds himself at a strange loss of words to describe it all. "Thank you, Joe," Nikki says, so sincerely that Joe blinks at him. "But please don't hurt yourself on my behalf." Joe is confused for a moment before he remembers nearly dropping Nikki's book on his own head. He groans, playing it up, and Nikki smiles. The expression warms his whole face. "I'll have to brave it," he says, and has to tear himself away before he does anything else embarrassing. Just wait until he tells Booker about this. 1-0 to Joe. Thank you very much. The end.